You know, multitudes all around us, all around the world, are seemingly trapped in hopeless situations. If you watch the news is, seems like it's all bad news. And that's how they get to keep your attention. Whether the problems stem from something in nature, hurricanes, flooding, storms, whatever, or the corruption of people, or be it failing health or some other factor, the challenges often seem insurmountable. How in the world can we overcome this? What can we do to stop this? And you come up with an answer, I don't know. I can't do anything. Even when an individual makes efforts to overcome the dilemma, there are those who seem to enjoy squelching the idea. Now, I have a little bit of a humorous example that comes out of World War II. In the midst of England being bombed and just decimated by the German rockets that were landing and destroying the land, there was a dinner party in which a woman of the English upper class, high society, was standing with Sir Winston Churchill, and she was overheard upbraiding, chiding, and criticizing everything that Sir Winston Churchill was doing. And she concluded her chastisement by looking at Sir Winston square in the face and said, "If I were your wife, I would put poison in your tea." And Sir Winston promptly replied, "If I was married to you, I would drink it." You know, sometimes you just want to get out of the situation. I am honestly frequently disturbed, as many of you are, when I hear the news of destruction, corruption, inequities, violence, greed, and so much more. Whether it be weather in chaos or corrupt people violating others, our hearts should ache with unrighteousness, with evil that takes place in our world. There are billions of people, literally billions of people, beyond our reach. There is no way that we can personally reach them or influence them one-on-one. These are people who cannot be helped or sometimes refuse to be helped. And it would appear that all things are hopeless. But today, what are we doing? We're trying to make an influence. We are collecting our Operation Christmas Child boxes today. Hey! And we're not alone. Thousands upon thousands of believers all across the land are collecting their boxes to gather, to send to the far-off places where we cannot go, but the message of Jesus is being taken into the world. This is one way that we can face what appears to be a hopeless situation. Sending the message in the ways that we can that Jesus Christ is the hope for all people. And we will continue to do this and other efforts of mission work. We need to continue to support our missionaries in foreign lands. If possible, if God enables us to pick up and do more for other missionaries to spread the gospel that Jesus is the hope for the hopeless. Amen. I am encouraged to see and hear reports of those who jump in to help. Those who stand up for what is right. Those who do what is honorable and what is good. We can rejoice together as we see lives change, as people make the choice to honor Jesus, to obey Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to celebrate those things. The angels of heaven celebrate when one comes to Christ. We can join in too, because Jesus is the Lord of life. He is the victor over all evil, over all corruption, over death itself. There is hope for the hopeless through belief in Jesus Christ, and people are coming to Him. And so we press on. When things look like they are impossible, with God, all things are possible if we will put our faith and trust in Him. Our text today records the desperate situation of two individuals with no natural hope available. But Jesus is there, and Jesus gives hope to those hopeless individuals. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You are still in control. You are the God of hope. You have sent the Savior of hope. Jesus has come to give us hope. He lived a life and influenced the people of His time period with hope, with the power from on high. And Father, that power is still available to us today if we will trust in You through Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your help, Your strength, Your power, Your healing, Your touch, Your miracles. Father, help us to see Your hand at work today. As we open up these scriptures, help us to consider the what appear to be hopeless situations, that You are not limited by what we consider impossibilities. With You, all things are possible. We thank You that there is hope for the hopeless, and that every person in this world has the opportunity to hear about Jesus, to accept Him, and to receive Your eternal blessings. Challenge us, strengthen us, enlighten us, prepare us, motivate us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Picking up in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21, we read through the end of the chapter now. These are several verses, so hang on to your hats. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around Him, and so He stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing Him, fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And He went off with him, and a large crowd was following Him and pressing in on Him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch His garment, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And His disciples said to Him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While He was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any more?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And He allowed no one to accompany Him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and He saw a commotion and the people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, He said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at Him. But putting them all out, He took along the child's father and mother and His own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, He said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And He gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and He said that something should be given her to eat. This little girl's hungry. Looking at this passage, is there hope for the hopeless? Yes, definitely there is hope for the hopeless. Even when it appears that all hope is gone, God is still with us. Jesus came to save desperate people. Mark 4 ended with the desperate disciples the previous evening out on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the dark during a storm in the sea, and the fierce winds were driving their boat across the lake. The wind was howling, the waves were overflowing, swamping the boat, and they were going to be swallowed up in the jaws of death, and the disciples were desperate. But Jesus was with them. In Mark chapter 5, we opened up last week with the demonic world controlling the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. All efforts by the local community to restrain this demoniac had failed, but the demons bowed in the presence of Jesus, and they were driven out, for the eternal future was up to the Master. Jesus is welcomed back to Galilee by multitudes seeking healing and instruction from the Master Teacher. He has been away from the multitudes less than 24 hours. And within that crowd is one of the leading citizens of the Jewish community, a leader of the synagogue. And Jairus desperately begs Jesus to rush to his house to heal his little girl. She's on the verge of death. Can you come? It's urgent. We need to go now. And as Jesus follows Jairus, a desperate woman forces her way through the crowd to touch just the garment of the Master. She believes that she can be healed after 12 years of a long curse of a bleeding hemorrhage. She is dying a long, slow death. She has spent all of her money. She is broke. She is suffering the humiliation under the law of being an unclean woman. She is not allowed to be in the public. She can't go to worship. And she needs help. There's no other help. And as Jesus deals with this woman, tragedy is announced. The 12-year-old girl has died. The efforts of the father is too little, too late. All hope appears to be shattered. The darkness of death has arrived, and sorrow begins to overwhelm Jairus. Is there any hope? How do we deal with all of these terrible situations? Desperation and death are all that seems to happen in this world. If we put our trust in this world, all it can give us is more problems. But Jesus came to help the desperate. Jesus is more powerful than the greatest need. All three hopeless, helpless individuals that Jesus met in Mark chapter 5 are labeled unclean under the Mosaic law. He shouldn't go near them. Law forbids that you touch an unclean person, you become unclean. But the Creator is here. The Lord and Creator of all came to restore all who are unclean to become clean. All who are hopeless in themselves are offered hope through Jesus. Life comes through Jesus. And who needs life? Everyone. Who is unclean? All of us. And Jesus came to cleanse us, to make us whole, to bring us back into the presence of God Himself. So we see the power of Jesus over nature when He calmed the wind and the waves with three words, "Peace, be still." No variable atmospheric air pressure is greater than the Creator, the Master who holds the whole creation in the palm of His hand. Nature must obey its maker. Nature obeys. We see the power of Jesus over the demons who have the power to invade and control people who do not focus their life, do not walk with God. Satan and all the forces of evil must bow to the authority of the divine. Satan and demons must obey Jesus. They must get permission to do anything before they act, and they must obey every command exactly as the Lord declares, as He declares it. Jesus is the ruler over the demonic world. Now we read of the instant healing of the woman who tried to secretly find some relief by just touching the hem of the robe, the edge of the garment that Jesus was wearing. But the Almighty knows every detail of our lives. He knows our every thought. And Jesus restored her physically and emotionally and socially to become fully what God wanted her to be, sending her away in peace as a daughter of God, a child of God. She hadn't felt that, been that, experienced that for years. But Jesus gave it back to her. The original mission is resumed after the brief interlude of healing the woman. In spite of the devastating news that your little girl's dead, Jesus gives hope and reassurance to Jairus. Don't be afraid any longer. Only believe. Believe in me. The master healer isn't finished yet. And he's still not finished yet. Jesus dismisses the wailing mourners, and they all mock him. You don't know what you're talking about. You've been out there on the street. Your sun-baked brain is not thinking straight. The little girl's dead. No, she's not. She's asleep. Get out of here. And he takes his three disciples and the mama and the daddy into the room where the Creator, who breathed life into the dust of Adam, will bring life into the corpse of the little 12-year-old girl. So she is not dead. She is what? She's alive. She's now alive. Jesus was the Word of God wearing human flesh. He came to save His special creation from the ravages of sin, from destruction, from death itself. He has the life and the power to restore all who will believe in Him. And He is still working today. The Creator is not dead. He is alive. And He is touching lives in His time, in His way, in His plan today. Have you felt His touch? Have you given Him the glory? Has He given you this day? He deserves our praise. Jesus is the only hope for a hopeless world. Jesus is the only one who is greater than all the storms that we face in this world. When trials or destruction threaten your marriage, your family, your business, your health, your possessions, faithfulness to Jesus will bring you through. There's an old gospel song, He will carry you through. He's with you. He's bearing you up through the storms of life. Jesus can carry you through any trial, any problem that this world has to challenge you with. Jesus will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's promised it. Will we hang on to Him? Will we grab the edge of His garment and trust in the power of the Master? The world is under the control and influence of Satan. The Scripture is very clear about it. The powers of darkness, powers of evil, corruption, destruction, heartache, pain, and death are all around us, We are very aware of it. And if we try to put our trust and faith in the things of this world, what will it offer to us? More pain, destruction, problems, heartache, death. But Jesus conquered the power of sin and death for all who will believe and obey in Him. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. What a blessing. God living in us. Perfection living in us. Amen. We have overcome through the power of Jesus. And Jesus will help all who will trust in Him, all who will believe in Him, because He is greater than Satan's powers. We have reviewed the record of His victory. Jesus is more powerful than nature. He is obeyed by the forces of evil. Our Master is the great physician who heals body and soul. And Jesus has the power to restore life back to the dead. He proved His own power by raising Himself. According to the prophecies, according to His own prediction, He conquered the grave after the third day, and He lives today and forevermore. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the what? Life. No person may enter into the eternal kingdom of God without making Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is our hope. He is our only Redeemer. Jesus is life. Scripture has shown us. It proves us. The disciples gave their life for the message that Jesus is the hope for a hopeless world. We must walk with Jesus. The problems, disease, trouble, and sin dominate our attention in this world. How many of you have aches and pains today? Yeah. How many of you just aren't what you used to be? Yeah. Do we need to worry and fret about it? No. God is in control. He's promised us perfect bodies in the new creation. And we need to walk in that hope and that faith and that trust. Death and destruction swirl around us. Every one of us is challenged by these in some way. If we are not affected, those close to us are. How many of us have lost close loved ones? Every single one of us. But Jesus is the Lord of life. The world offers us advisors, substitutes, pills, government programs, and distractions, but all that it offers are only temporary and incomplete. They will fail in time. But Jesus never fails. Jesus Christ came to set us free from the power of sin and death. His words are living water for our soul. His words are bread for our soul. His ways give us peace with each other, peace with God, and peace and life forever in eternity with the new bodies that He has assured us of that will be just like His, not restrained by the physical problems of this world. So the question is, do you have your hope put in Jesus Christ fully, completely? Is He in heaven watching your choices? Yes. He knows how we really think deep down inside. I encourage you to get your mind in His path, thinking His ways. He has promised to return to clean up this mess that Satan has made of this world, the mess that He's made in your life and the lives of the neighbors and your friends, your family. He's coming back. Let's be ready to serve the God of hope and promise and assurance. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that there is hope in the midst of troubles of this world. The heartaches, the miseries, the bad news, the corruption, You're still in control. Father, help us to keep our faith and trust in You, to continue to serve You in the midst of all that is swirling around us. Father, even when destruction and death touch us, let us keep our faith, move forward, always honoring You. because you are the God of faithfulness. You are the God of life. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We encourage you, if you are not committed to the Lord or you have questions, you have challenges, please talk to one of the elders and myself. We would be glad to work with you, especially if you have not given your life to Jesus in obedience to his commands. Let's all go to heaven together, and let's get ready to bring some more with us. Amen? God bless you. Let's sing.